Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Mets podcast. As always, this is your host, Cody Mallory. I am delighted to be joined by my two co-hosts. Anthony, how's it going?
It's good, man. What's good? Just watching monthly basketball.
Yeah, bro. I was struggling to stay awake, but I had to stay awake for the pod, so here I am. And as always, Joe Farrow. What's going on, Joe?
Same boat as Anthony. Watched some ugly basketball, but I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, us three know that we are bringing on a guest that I am incredibly excited to talk about. The story is amazing, and I'm really excited to hear from him. So we have Craig Randall II, or Dose, on our podcast tonight. You guys probably know he currently plays for the Long Island Nets, and he actually just won G League Player of the Week. So the timing is awesome. How's it going, Craig?
It's going good. How are you guys?
I'm excited to talk to you. Talk some basketball.
Yep.
What's up, Joe?
I just wanted to jump in and just give people a little bit more of a background on Craig. So, obviously, we mentioned he just won G League Player of the Week. He joined the Long Island Nets and immediately put up 2 40-point games. His first 2 games, he threw 5 games so far. I mean, I got these stats earlier today. It says logging 39 minutes a game, 26.8 points per game, shooting 48% from the field, 35 from 3, 4.8 rebounds, 5.2 assists, averaging a steal and a half a block. Man, those are impressive numbers. I just wanted to ask, how did you really get acclimated so quickly to the Long Island Nets and just dominate right out of the gate?
I mean, my coaches had a lot of confidence in me, my teammates. I've been on the team the first 12 games before the regular season started. I started the last, 7 games of that cup season we had, like I did the G League this year. But, yeah. I came back from break. I was just locked in, I guess. I mean, I hadn't played basketball in a year and a half. So the first 12 games for me was just about trying to get in the rhythm, find myself again. But I mean, my coaches, like I said, they got a lot of confidence in me, my teammates. So it's really kudos to them for just believing in me and giving me a chance and opportunity.
Yeah. So, before we kind of go more into it, because trust me, we have a ton of questions with the G League coaching staff and everything to go with that. But why don't you just tell kind of all of the listeners who are listening to the pod when it gets posted your story on how you got to the Long Island Nets, because that's almost as impressive and crazy as, like Joe said, the numbers you've been putting up since you started playing.
I got invited to the local tryout. Well, we heard about it. And so, like you guys have heard, I paid $200 to go to the local tryout. I got there, I played well, obviously, and then I got invited to training camp, and got to training camp. Coach told me there were other guys there that were also trying out to make the final roster. So he told me it was going to be a battle. I kind of just went into it with my head down, locked in. So made the team, and then he had told me we had Duke, we had Cam, Kes, Dayron, they were all down there too in the beginning of the season. So he had told me, like, I might not play right away. And we got Josh Gray. We got guys who have been in the G League. So this is my first year. So obviously, honestly, in my personal, I wasn't expecting to play a lot or be playing the minutes I'm playing now. So, yeah, it just worked out in a crazy way. It's a blessing. I mean, I've been saying it's all God. So it's just been, it's been a crazy, especially these last 2 weeks. It's been a crazy 2 weeks. So, but I'm here for it. I've enjoyed every second of it, obviously. So
yeah. That's so awesome, man.
How do these tryouts look? Like, how many people like show up to like the initial tryout that you said you paid $200 for? Like, is it like a big group or how many people?
Well, this year it was like you had to sign up, register online. They only took a certain amount of guys. You had to be vaccinated. So once you, because they had two separate tryouts. They had one like September 26th, I believe that's the one I went to, and then they had one like a week later. And so, I mean, they only took two people out of all, like, it was like probably 150 players there, and then probably 100 more at the other one. And out of all of those, they only took two players. And so I was one of the two, and then came to training camp, and then the rest is history.
That's really impressive. Now.
That's awesome. That's insane.
I'm just saying, the Nets could have used some scoring tonight. I'm just throwing that out there. Not too much pressure, but I know, I'm sure you were watching the game, but they could have used some that can get some buckets tonight for sure. But we'll get into that game later. I know personally, I kind of want to talk about the coaching staff at Long Island. We've seen the Nets, like you mentioned, Dayron and Kess and Cam. Obviously, they've come up and made an immediate impact for the Nets. So I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but the coaching staff, like you said, they must be great at developing players and getting the most out of them. Because it seems like year after year, like Clax and then the rookies this year, they just come up and they make an immediate impact and kind of no one really expects it. They kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much do the same thing that they do in Brooklyn. So all of our plays, all the terms that we use, everything that goes on in Brooklyn is kind of put into our system too down there in Long Island. And yeah, credit to the coaching staff. They take a lot of time in developing us. We spend a lot of time in practice on just working on making shots, making plays. I mean, and we also know, like, if we come up from Long Island to Brooklyn, we're playing with Kyrie and KD and stuff like that. So they teach us about roles. They talk to us about that. And like you've seen Kess, Dayron, Duke and Cam, like, they've adjusted quick because that's just what we're taught down there. So, I mean, we'll fit right in. We know how things go. So, yeah, they do a really good job of making sure we'll be ready anywhere. Like, if we went anywhere, if we weren't just called up to Brooklyn anywhere, like, we'll fit right in any team.
Yeah, especially with how COVID's going and all these 10-day contracts, hardship contracts, that's got to be crucial in the G League right now.
Yeah, it definitely is.
How surreal of a feeling is that to wake up every day and know that you're playing for the Long Island Nets and that basically any day you could wake up and then your teammates with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant?
It's a crazy feeling. I mean, you kind of just got to, like, put it in the back of your head because you're not there yet. So you kind of got to focus on what's going on in Long Island. But, I mean, to know that you could one day play with Kyrie or play with KD or play with James Harden, play for Steve Nash, period. Like, those are four of the best players to touch a basketball, and they've done some crazy things. You know, obviously, the other three are still playing, so, I mean, to just be a part of that would be crazy. It would be fun learning from them. I mean, you see it on TV, but seeing it up close on the bench would be probably even more insane. So, yeah, it's definitely something to look forward to always.
Do you guys ever have, like, joint practices with them or, like at the same training facility, or is it always, like, completely separate?
We've never practiced with them, but we've practiced in Brooklyn a number of times when the whole Brooklyn staff, they've been there, been in the building and watched. So we've been up there when we see how everything's ran up there. So, yeah.
Yeah, kind of back on the COVID theme. So I don't follow the Long Island Nets as close as I do the Brooklyn Nets. I feel like most fans would say that. Have you guys really had big impacts with COVID or just across the G League level in general? Have they been postponing games and having issues with lack of players, especially with all players getting called up to those other contracts?
We ran into it probably We haven't had anybody miss any games. I mean, Bryce Brown missed one game, but they postponed the season just because there weren't enough guys in the G League because, like you said, they were getting caught up. But it's more so it's more so across, like, the league, like the actual NBA. Like, I mean, there are some guys getting it and some guys aren't. You know, the tests are sometimes false. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, and like, you got to test two positive tests. Like, if you have one negative, one positive, you can keep testing until you test two negative, and then you can still play or you can still be part of the team. So everything's just weird. It's a crazy world right now, period.
So, for sure.
I mean, it's definitely wild, but it's definitely a business right now where it's always next man up. So everybody just got to stay ready because you never know when it's going to be your time.
I got to ask, are you a Nets fan, and have you always been a Nets fan, like Brooklyn Nets, New Jersey Nets, growing up?
I'm a basketball fan. So I was always a Kobe fan. So I was like, like the Lakers, but I like players, honestly. And I mean, the Nets have three of some of my favorite players. So I just like watching good basketball. I like guys who can score, and they have three of the best scorers.
So. Got it.
I don't really like teams, but now I'm a Nets fan. I mean, I'm part of the organization. So, and my guy, like Duke, Kess and him, like Kess, Dayron, Cam, like, I've been around them, so I cheer for them as much as I can when I'm watching the games.
So there's been multiple times this season where the guys that you mentioned that you got a chance to play with, practice with, they've been called up and then sent back down for a few days or any situation like that. Is there like a noticeable difference in their leadership when like they originally go up and then come back down, like just getting off of the influence of like the major players on the team as well as Steve Nash and the coaching?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely bring a different aspect to our team when they come back down just because they're up there. And so they're around those guys who are where we're trying to get to, especially Duke. Duke's just a natural leader. That's just who he is as a person. So, I mean, we all know Cam's kind of quiet. Kess the same way. Dayron. So, like, they all bring a different aspect whenever they come down. So it's always good to have them because – one, when you're in Brooklyn, obviously when you're in the league period, like how vocal you are is so important. And so just when we go through drills and we're playing in a game, they're always talking, always loud. So it's always good to have them down there for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I read your story. I think Alex Stern of Mets Daily from SB Nation wrote a story on you in December. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I don't recall if you interviewed it.
Yeah.
But you tried out for two other G League teams, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, I actually did the Long Island tryout on the 26th. Left the tryout, went straight to the airport, got on the plane, flew to Orlando, drove to Lakeland, and tried out for Lakeland, and did the Lakeland trial on the 27th, and then went home. So it was a crazy 2 days.
Sounds
two
like
days right there. But I mean, I'm always up for the task. I mean, I'm a big guy that takes on challenges. That's just how I've always been. I don't shy away from anything that might challenge me. So I enjoyed every second of that too, just being able to be out there and compete with other guys who play at a high level. So it was fun to me.
Back to the kind of players, you're a fan of players. So have you submerged yourself into Nets Twitter yet and see the accounts?
I haven't. I'm on social media to like watch it. Like I just scroll through it, but I don't really get into social media for real. Especially Twitter. Twitter is a crazy platform. You gotta be careful how deep you dive into Twitter and stuff. So I see as much as I can. I don't really pay attention to it though that much.
You made a good decision because it's very petty and brutal on there.
Yeah, I already know how the media gets, even social media. So I already know what can be said and what can go wrong.
Yeah, and there's like a thread of someone saying like, "Oh, your favorite player is afraid of a needle." Like, "Oh, your favorite player is afraid of going on a diet." Like, it's just
it's wild. I know it's wild.
It gives me a laugh, but like you said, can't take it seriously.
A quick question. So, like, when it comes to like G League traveling, like, is it like similar where you like you do you guys like fly like in your own plane, or is it like chartered? And is like, I know like it's all over the place because I know like there's certain teams in like North Dakota. I know there's like the Sioux Falls. Like, is some of the places you go to crazy? Like, in terms of like, it's not like normal city sometimes.
I mean, we just got back from Toronto, and going to Canada right now in itself is just crazy, just because you got. Have all these tests. You got to have a show your vaccine card. That's probably the roughest part. But I mean, we don't fly private. No G League team does. So it's just, I mean, it's not weird travel. Like, cause the cities we're in, we don't go on the West Coast. We play all East Coast teams. So the farthest we went to Vegas for the G League showcase. And that was the farthest we've gone. Everywhere else, we're like in Chicago. We've been to Maine. We were in Delaware. In like 2 weeks, we go to Atlanta and Florida. So in February, we got a road trip from the 5th. We're going from the 5th into the 16th. So we got a wild, but it's all like close to each other. So we'll go to like Detroit, play in Grand Rapids, and we'll be in Chicago for that little away trip right there.
So playing in Canada right now, there's not allowed. No fans are allowed, right?
No, it was like an open gym in there.
Yeah. So from a player aspect, is it more difficult to get locked in to a game where there's no fans in the stands, or is it just do you just treat it the same?
You gotta treat it the same, only because that'll really show you who you are, like, as a player, period, and as a team. Like, if you can lock in with nobody there, then you got to have the same focus when it's, 10,000 people in there. Because if you get caught up to the league, all of those games always have fans. So you can't really pay attention to who's in the crowd because there's a lot going on the court. But, I mean, G League teams don't always get a lot of fans. And we play in the Nassau Coliseum, so we play in a big arena. So – I mean, we get fans, and we don't sell it out, like, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
We try to just stay in between those four lines as much as possible. I mean, we knew ahead going to Toronto there weren't going to be any fans. We obviously joked about it, laughed about it, like, it's going to be crazy, like, having a practice. But, I mean, it was still easy to hear what's going on. Like, you hear everybody talking. It's low-key, like, I liked it. I mean, I didn't mind it, no fans. Like, it was cool with me, so – it actually made the game kind of more interesting and fun.
Yeah, so. I'd imagine it's also a lot easier to pick up a technical. But
because you definitely hear everything. Yeah, you definitely hear everything. But I mean, that's just part of the game. It is what it is when it comes to that stuff.
Even watching the games on TV, like the NBA games, I think it was 2 years ago now, and there was no fans. Everyone was saying like, "Oh, the atmosphere, it sucks. There's no fans." I thought it was kind of cool because you could kind of hear what was going on a little bit.
It like that's probably one of the best parts of basketball, period, is like the trash talk, because it makes the game fun. Like, some people can't handle it and some people like feed off it. So like, I'm one of those guys, like, feed off it, and I love to give it out because it's funny to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, as long as you keep it basketball, it's always fun. It's just part of the game. And some guys get really mad, so you just gotta smile and laugh. And I enjoy that part, just getting under guys' skin. It's something that some people, it's part of their game. And if you can do it, you got one up on your opponent at all times. So
KD's one of those stalkers.
Yeah, KD, and you can't even, you know, I mean, I guess you might see it sometimes, but when he talks, you kind of just don't want to say nothing to him because he's getting 30 regardless. So don't make him mad. Because then he might get 50. Now it's bad for you. So.
I always wondered, like, when if, like, let's say KD talks trash to you, like, what do you say back? Like, do you think, like, someone like KD says, like, "Bro, like, let's compare stats," or like he says something like that, or do you think he just keeps it strictly to, like, for comedic purposes?
Nah, he says stuff like, "Bro, you know who I like that. You know who I am, KD." Like, he probably keeps it just straight to it. Like, "Yo, like, be real with yourself. Like, you know who you're talking to." Stuff like that. Like, And he just smiled, laughed, and then continues on hitting a mid-range jumper in your face the next six times on the floor. You can't do nothing.
Did you see that KD Joel Embiid beef after they played the Sixers?
Yeah, Joel Embiid wants no parts of Kevin Durant. He knows that. But Joel Embiid, like, that's part of his game. He trolls. And like guys like KD can handle it, but you see he get other guys, he getting them kicked out the game. Like, and he's one of the guys I like watching because he makes the game fun. Like, it's basketball and it's a show. So, like, if you come watch him play, you get your money's worth at all times.
100%.
Yeah, I think like, even in the playoffs when KD and PJ Tucker were going at it, that was fun because it's like, you know, they're boys, but it's just like they're going at it. They're going at it, and PJ looked over at KD's mom, and they laugh about it, and it's very funny to me.
Yeah, it's part of the game. It's part of the game.
Wait, I have another quick question. So outside of the Nets, obviously, who do you think looks the best in the league right now? Like, what team do you think is the biggest contender?
Well, in the West, the Warriors are always going to be scary. Just now they got Klay back, and once they, like, get that rhythm, it's going to be hard to really stop them, like, I feel like. But the Grizzlies look good. They're young.
Crazy year.
John Morant is having an insane year. The Bulls are obviously good, but everybody was talking about that, but the Nets kind of dealt with that the other night. So, I mean, the Bucks are always going to, like, the Bucks are good. You got, as long as you got Giannis, you got a chance. So, I mean, the East is really where it's at, honestly. Like, it used to be the West. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't have their guys right now. Like, the Lakers, they figuring stuff out. But the one thing I say about the Lakers is they have LeBron James. So it's hard to count them out because they have LeBron James.
It's tough with Westbrook right now. He's in a really bad slump.
Yeah. The Suns have been the Suns. Like, the Suns have been the most consistent, in my opinion, in the West. So it might be them out of the West again. Yeah. But if the Nets have Kyrie, James Harden, and Kyrie, James Harden, and KD, like, it doesn't matter what's going on right now. When it gets to the playoffs, them fully healthy, I don't think there's anybody that can, like, stop them. Because KD almost beat the Bucks last year by himself, like, with a hurt James Harden, no Kyrie at all. So
James Harden says the decoy, basically.
Yeah, so, like, them healthy, that's – you saw what they did to the Bulls last night, and the Bulls were first in the East. Like, and Kyrie's not even in full effect yet. Like he said, he's in preseason form right now. He's just getting back.
And no Joe Harris either, no LaMarcus.
Right, so a fully loaded Nets team is really, really, really good. And nobody's seen it yet. So, I mean, obviously everybody's saying what they're saying, but let's just be real about them. They're really good. So, we'll see.
I have one quick question, and this might be a hard one. But if you're you're running point or you're running the two, create your, like, dream supporting cast around you. It could be, like, all-time or current NBA, whatever you want to do.
Taking KD, for sure. Shaq at my five because he's unstoppable. You don't need to make free throws. probably put, like, if KD – can KD be the three?
Yeah.
I want to be the one, and I want Kobe to be my two. KD at the three. Honestly, I'm putting Bron at the four because Bron can play one through five, so he could just be interchangeable.
Yeah,
and then really, I can guard and make shots in the corner when I'm open. I got Kobe, KD, and Bron. Yeah, that's tough. And then you throw the ball inside the Shaq. You know you can do. You're not beat.
Nah, nobody out there to help. Everybody's out on the wing trying to.
Yeah, you on the island for sure. Every time.
Yep.
Every time.
The great, great supporting cast. Drew it up perfectly.
Yeah. I got one more quick question for you before we dive into some Nets games that have happened. There's been a lot of discussion about who the current MVP is of the league. A lot of us Nets fans are obviously biased, but we're very for Kevin Durant and what he's been doing all season. There's talk of Steph Curry, who's been in a shooting slump. Nikola Jokic, who's trying to carry the Nuggets, but They're missing a lot of pieces, but he's been incredible. And then obviously Giannis. Who do you think is currently the front runner for MVP in the league?
Unanimously, Kevin Durant.
That's what I want to hear.
And that's unbiased because he's playing 39 minutes, 40 minutes, and he's proven he's won games with rookies, like two-way guys. Like, my guys is on those teams helping them get wins, so, like, but they won tough games. So, and he's averaging 30. And he just had – what do you have? We have 30 last night on 10 shots or 29 on 10 shots?
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, like I'm saying, he's doing unheard-of stuff. I know it's insane what Steph is doing. And Giannis looks unstoppable, and Jokic is Jokic. But if you go through the stat sheet and you just look at what he's doing, and it's, like, consistent every year, why is he, like, you can't say he's not the MVP. Because if you don't give it to him, in my opinion, the league is rigged. Because he's the best player. He, like, and I just because I played for him, I would say this if I played for Wisconsin, Herd, anybody. He's the best player in the NBA. Like, that's that. Like, you can't stop him. 7 foot.
You're not even saying that he's the MVP or the MVP. You're making the claim best player in the world right now, Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Kevin Durant. And we all agree with you unanimously.
We all agree to trust.
Kevin Durant. And if people can say what they want. Everybody has their own opinion just because that's just who they like. But like realistically as a basketball player, if you just watch him, like if you could shoot 40, 50, 90 at that size, like nobody can do anything with him. He gets to whatever spots he wants and shoots whatever shot he wants. It's never good defense. He just misses. That's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I think you said it perfectly. Yeah.
He has my vote for sure.
He has mine as well. Unfortunately, I don't have one, though. All right. Let's jump into the Trailblazers game. That's the last game that's happened since we've done the recap. Obviously, James Harden was missing. Very upsetting and disappointing. Once again, we thought we were going to get to see that big three play, which we have rarely seen this past year. I think today's the year that makes 1 year that James Harden got traded, right?
Yeah, 1 year since we acquired James Harden today.
And they've played what, 16 games together, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like we were hoping Monday, like, oh, it's a away game, like we got Kai, and then we lose Harden, it was back to back. I hated the starting lineup. I don't know what you guys think about that. I hate playing David Duke, Bembry, and Claxton together. There is virtually no spacing around KD and Kai.
And yeah, I think they noticed that early because Duke got pulled fairly early from that lineup and they threw Patty out. And they tried to fix it, but it was that game was rough. I mean, like losing James Harden like earlier in the day, not knowing if he was going to play or not, and then they eventually rule him out, and then we end up getting daggered by Ben McLemore. the Blazers had nobody. Then it was a rough game.
Yeah, there was no Dame, no CJ. They had no Norman Powell, and they had I think no Larry Nance.
Yeah, those were the four.
And it was just like, I get it, like Anfernee Simmons having a good run. Like they got some good shooters, but it's just like, I feel like everyone has their best 3-point shooting night of the year against the Nets. Like we saw, we'll get to it. Like every time we play someone, it's like they can't miss from three.
It's not even like we're defending bad either. It's just like these guys just aren't missing. It's very odd.
I like Duke in any lineup. I'm biased on that though.
That's
my guy. I mean, he guards.
You know, make shots. Yeah, I mean, he plays so hard with so much energy.
And that's hard. And that's hard not to put that on the floor. And he's young too. Like he's young. So
yeah.
And I'm biased. That's my guy. So.
It was also the coming out party for Dayron Sharpe.
Oof! Yeah.
I mean, good work in 24 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. He's an animal on the boards. I can't even imagine going up against that. Like,
and it's crazy because everybody, you guys see Dede like as a big, like, when he practices with, like, he's tough, like, can put the ball on the floor, can shoot threes. Like, he's tough. And when they like, what I'm saying, like later on in his career, he'll get to show it. He's really good.
Yeah. And we see it already. It's just like we've been used to running like a 4 out or even a 5 out most of the season. And it's just like that stacking Bembry and Duke who like, I'm not saying they're non-threats, but they're not respecting the three ball as much from those guys as they would if a Patty Mills was in the lineup, which
for sure.
Eventually led to like just swarming defense on KD and Kyrie. And it was just hard to get any offense going.
Yeah, what's the call? Of all the bigs on this team, I honestly think Daron Sharp has the best like skill set of everyone. Like Claxton kind of struggles like finishing at the rim sometimes, and obviously some of the other guys are older. If Sharp can just like clean up the fouls a little bit, I could see him like kind of developing into like a Jared Allen type of project where he's actually like a great finisher at the rim. Because I think with the beginning of Jared Allen's career, he was a little raw finishing, and like Daron Sharp already looks like he has that much quicker than Jared Allen did. And Jared Allen's already like an all-star this year.
Yeah, and we're going through the same thing, basically, what we did with Jared with Clax already, and now we have another one following up in Daron. But, like, Clax was the same way. Like, we saw, like, he obviously has the ability to defend anyone on the perimeter, and he just – and Clax now, he's getting to that Jared Allen phase where he's just dunking on everybody. And I could definitely see Daron doing the same thing.
I want to ask a quick question to Craig about this. What are your thoughts on Steve Nash's rotation? But like you said earlier, like their main thing is these games don't really matter right now. It's come playoff time, be healthy, have everything figured out. You think he's just playing around to try to find what works? Or
I mean, that's usually what most teams do during this time. If you watch all the games, obviously I got to figure out what works best for like we're going to do the win. But I think the Nets have a lot of, because they have Kyrie James and Kyrie, like he can do a lot because he doesn't need scoring. You know what I'm saying? Like that's covered.
Right.
So all you really got to do is just find pieces. So honestly, I think he's done a good job of just putting everybody in there, getting everybody a chance. I mean, because you're playing with, like I said, three of the best players playing basketball right now. So, I mean, they're young, too. Like, they got guys catching COVID, and he's putting young guys in there. So, I mean, he kind of got it kind of hard, honestly. And not most teams have that right there. Like, all play three rookies one game, four rookies. Like, that's hard to do. And still winning with the best player in the world. So, I mean. I think he did a good job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's had a lot thrown at him. Obviously, the Kyrie situation. And then he lost Joe Harris early. The COVID situation. So he's definitely had to throw a lot at him.
I had a quick question.
What's happening?
So I know, this year they've been experimenting a lot with the lineups and stuff like that. And you got to play, 10 men deep to, sometimes even 12 men deep in the regular season. But, Craig, I want to hear your input. When it comes playoff time, if you have to play, let's say, eight guys, who are the eight you're playing in terms of if you need, a playoff series and, you need guys to play high minutes on the Nets?
Well, you obviously have those three, KD, Kyrie, James. Is Joe Harris going to be back by playoffs?
Yeah, he should be back within the next. I'd say by the All-Star break. It's kind of getting a little murky, but he'll be back by playoffs.
So that's four, and then – You gotta play Clax. You have to play him. Cause he plays defense. Like he's gonna be a factor down there.
Get three more.
I mean, you gotta play Bruce Brown. And I just like him because he plays hard.
We all love Bruce. But Steve Nash recently doesn't seem to think that that he needs the Lakers. I don't know why.
And honestly, for me, and I'm biased. I like my four dudes. I like my guys because they're young and they bring that energy. They bring that Cam's gonna bring something every night. Like Cam is Cam, and then Kesh is gonna guard. Kes guards. Kes going to make shots. Duke going to guard. Duke going to get to the basket. Duke going to rebound. Duke going to make shots. And you got Daron. So, I mean, but you got to play the vets too because they're experienced. But if I'm being biased, I mean, I put those three, my guys, and then Joe Harris. You want my honest opinion.
Rook's big three, Joe Harris. I love it.
Yeah.
But they're going to figure it out. Like I said, it's gonna be hard to, like, beat them in the playoffs because that mode that those three dudes going in the playoffs, like, it's a different type of energy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, KD's always in that mode, obviously. It's kind of hard to, like, tell when he's not. But, like, what are you going to honestly do in the game? Like, it's a seven-game series, a championship. On the line. James Harden hasn't won one yet. And KD and Kyrie is trying to still build their legacy. Like, and they hungry because there's so many people saying so much stuff about them. So, like, what you going to do? Because they got everything to lose, so they trying to win. So, like, everybody else, I feel like they're in danger. Like, they're in a lot of danger.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think Craig just kind of laid it out. Like, Steve Nash has got a bunch of players, good players, combination of rookies, vets that he can play come playoffs. So he's just trying to figure everything out. But let's quickly dive into the Bulls game. I think that's the game that kind of all Nets fans have been, like, waiting for, kind of circled it. Can they finally beat a good team? And they sent an absolute statement at the Chicago Bulls. Going into a very hostile environment. The crowd was super into it early, and the Nets just ran them out of the gym. Crunch Boy, Bayron, Cass were amazing. They both threw the start alongside KD, Kai, and Harden. And the Nets were just too much for the Bulls to keep up with, and it wasn't even close for most of the game.
Yeah, I mean, up until half, it was really close contested game. We were only up by two at half, and then, like, midway through the third quarter, it's like you blink and then we're up 25. And then it's like, it was so weird because, like, we thought, like, we kind of, like, put the nail in the coffin in the third quarter, and all of a sudden the fourth quarter hits and, like, we turn into the Brooklyn Globetrotters. It was nuts. It was like behind the back passes all over the place, dunks. James Harden ends up with 16 assists. It's like, it was unbelievable. And KD and Harden combined for 52, and, like, Kyrie only had 10 points, but, like, that's the scary part. Like, like, we beat the Bulls by 30 points, and Kyrie only has 10 points, and we stopped trying with 8 minutes left in the game. It was, like, it was insane.
Yeah, kind of like Craig said earlier, Kai's still in preseason mode, and the Nets ruined that, so.
It just shows how good they are, that's all. Because when Kyrie gets – when he gets back fully right, Yeah,
that's James said his presser after the game. They said he was like, "Does it, like, surprise you how quickly Kai has been able to play this many minutes and get acclimated and like just get the team going as a whole?" And James just goes, "Yeah, we're that good." Like, it makes sense.
And then
James also said he's going to give Kyrie the shot himself. So let's pray that James Harden knows how to administer a vaccine. We'll get that going.
I hope he does.
Yeah.
And then that's the Thunder game that we all watched tonight. I mean, the Nets were just missing, you could argue, like, six out of their top seven players. So, I mean, yeah. OKC was on fire. Really, well, I didn't have any takeaways. I went into this game knowing there wouldn't be any takeaways, and that's kind of how the game played out. So, I don't know what any of you guys want to say about it. I mean, Kess, he impressed me again with his shot blocking, his defense, his ability to knock down the open shot, catch and shoot, which is obviously big for the Nets, that 3-and-D kind of role that you want to surround the big three with. I think these last couple of games really proved to everyone that he is that guy. I'm sure, as Craig already knew, seeing it up close, but definitely good to see these last couple of games this week. And I think there's an argument for him to remain in the starting lineup going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. He, like, when you watch him, it's almost like you get the feeling of, like, I'm not, like, making any comparisons because this is a crazy comparison, but, like, a young Kawhi when he joined Tim Duncan, Manu, and Tony Parker on the Spurs. Like, you see flashes of that with Kessler Edwards in a very similar situation. It's just like, look at it, and it's just like he provides you the shooting ability and the defense exactly what Kawhi was able to do when he first came in. And it's just like, it's crazy because when you look at Kessler and his athleticism and his size and just the way he plays, it's like the sky is the limit for him. And he's definitely impressed a lot recently.
Have you guys watched like his Long Island highlights?
No, but I would assume it's like a streetball mixtape.
I just feel like it's, I mean, he plays the exact same way. Like, he guards, he dunks on everybody. Because, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, Kess is just, like, springy and just energy, and he can play long minutes. Like, he's really good. And, like you said, like, that Kawhi comparison, it's not crazy at this point stage where they both are at because, like, he's only going to get better. So, I agree, though. He's tough. I love Kess.
Yeah, he had that putback dunk tonight, and like he got up for that. It was kind of in garbage time, but still, like that was.
No, yeah, dude. Like it looked like he's jumping off like a trampoline. Like the guy's got.
Yeah, I think Kustocker Eagle said that.
Did they? No, yeah, kid's got bounce, and you see on his block shots and his contests and the dunks like that. He's thrown down a few the last couple nights.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up here. So, Craig, we usually, we're kind of running a running total of we pick games to see who has the best record. So, I'm currently tied with Joe now. You guys mocked me for picking the OKC Thunder to win this game, but here we are. So, tied with Joe, Anthony's one game up on us. So, Anthony, you got to pick the two games. We're going to pick Saturday and we're going to pick Monday.
Pelicans and then Cavs.
Oof.
Pelicans at home, obviously, and Cavs are on the road.
I'm going to go with a shocker here. I'm going to go with two wins.
you obviously don't know this, but Anthony, it's very rare that he picks a loss, which is mostly why he's in the lead because the Nets win a lot, and he just picked for damn near every game.
As I should.
He's a smart guy. I'm two wins too.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take two wins too. I mean, I expect nothing less than us to handle the Pelicans at home with 2 days rest, and then go in on Monday with Kyrie in Cleveland and take a win.
Revenge game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go same thing. I'm going to go two wins, so there's not going to be anything made up because, like you said, the rest, especially get KD and Patty Mills back. So I don't think it's have a chance.
The Cavs have been playing good, but they don't have what we have with Kyrie on the court. So
happy for Canada.
Any last things you want to ask Craig? Or, I mean, you said there's a game tomorrow, Long Island against Wisconsin. Good luck in that game, man. Keep getting buckets. Keep doing your thing. We'll be rooting for you.
Yeah, we're you guys.
We're looking for a repeat player of the week.
Yeah, right?
I see what I can do. We're trying to get wins down there, too. So.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to see if we can get us a back-to-back. Get us two wins in. That'll be good for us.
Yeah, I'll
be following Long Island more closely now. Now that we've had a discussion with you. And I'm going to be my team now. I'm paying attention to you guys.
We appreciate all the support. We appreciate that. We need it.
Yeah, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you, man. It's been really good. You've been awesome.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And once again, thank you for tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. As always, this is your host, Coach Mallory, joined by Anthony Dittmar and Joe Farrow. We're lucky enough to have Craig Randall II be our guest tonight of the Long Island Nets. G League Player of the Week. My man is getting buckets down there. Check him out. Watch his highlights. They're impressive. Maybe you'll see a little trash talking. And as always, comment, like, subscribe, tweet at us, interact with us, and let's go Nets.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.